Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, everyone? Derek Evers and Christopher Robbins here with the long-awaited return of Nothing Urgent.
Finally.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We've been...
I've been sending you pictures of my penis since I've been away.
I know.
Just to sort of keep the flame alive.
We've been gallivanting around the country. We were in San Diego, and then Christopher was in... was it Virginia or West Virginia?
I was in Virginia.
Ah. And you were there... There was no... incestuous situations going on. I mean, isn't that what Virginia's
known for? Why does everyone have to be inbred from the South, Derek? I take offense to that. You're practically from Canada.
Yeah, but they're not inbred.
Your parents could have smuggled you in.
And bad accents.
Your parents could have smuggled you in through some weird, you know, anchor baby tunnel through Canada. Your accent's too off. I don't appreciate it.
I'm trying to think of what the porn equivalent of anchor baby tunnel is, but I'm drawing a blank.
No, I was in Virginia, not West Virginia.
Okay. Well, we're going to skip the pleasantries because now that we're on the topic of Virginia, which we'll talk plenty about your trip once we get time. I kind of want to. Well, okay. Maybe we should do that with our guests, who will be coming up in just a minute after we play one of their songs. But they also hail from Virginia. Arturo Summers is here with us today, and we'll get talking to them in literally... This song is 3 minutes and 52 seconds long. In 3 minutes and 52 seconds long, we'll be joined by Eternal Summers.
That's when you play the song.
It is when I play the song.
We'll be right back.
Are we live? Now we're live. I always wonder how long we should wait for the fade out to come in. Do you have any suggestions on that? Producer Chris Robbins?
That doesn't keep me awake at night.
All right. Well, like the song that we played, I guess the song by, we're joined by Eternal Summers. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
We are joined by Daniel Cundiff, Nicole Yun, and Jonathan Woods.
That's correct.
I wrote, Derek.
I didn't have to write those down.
No, you didn't.
I know.
I specifically saw you not write them down.
I know. Yeah. So how are you guys? I mean, thank you for taking the time to join us. I know you guys are a little bit in a time crunch because you're playing tonight.
We sure are. Yeah, we're playing at the Mercury Lounge tonight, and we're playing with the Love Language, who are fastly becoming very good friends of ours. So yeah, it's gonna be a good show.
That's awesome. Have you guys been touring together this whole stint?
Yeah, just a short little 8-day stint. So
not too bad.
Nothing too deep.
Yeah, you still get to you know, remain sort of clean and don't have to worry too much about your laundry with only 8 days.
It's true.
We have done laundry already, though.
It's true.
Or third day, I think.
Yeah.
Also true.
So you get, but you guys are like kind of veterans at this point. So
you guys are divas now, right? Doing laundry every 3 days,
wanting to be clean,
getting the red M&Ms in the bowls and stuff before the shows.
I just don't want to upset my other band members.
What? Because they didn't do laundry?
No, because I stink.
Yeah.
Did you? So what? While we're on that topic, what is the most extravagant thing you've had on your, what do they call that list?
Rider.
Yeah, let's talk about your rider. Let's talk about the important things.
I think, well,
let's talk about what you wrote as our first rider that we never get.
The Zen Garden is something we have on there. Some floating crystals.
In water, yeah, and yeah. What kind of water?
Oh, I don't even know. What kind?
Like a rock garden, you mean? Like where you rake the tiny pebbles and then your sort of your chi changes? Am I on to something?
We
don't know because we've never gotten it.
Yeah.
Chris, thanks for growing up.
Okay, well, what's the most outrageous thing you've asked for and actually gotten?
Water.
it is kind of funny because, like, that, I guess, is, you know, it's like a, you're like, well, when we eventually get the was it chi garden? What did we say? Zen garden.
Chia pet? What did
write
we
that down? Well, that's what I was thinking about was the chia pet, the ones that like grow by. Once you get the Zen garden, it's like you've made it. Is that what it's like?
Right, that's what we're striving for. Even with all the songs we write, that's the motivation is the garden.
Are you guys familiar with a band called Sound Tribe Sector 9? They're like super jammy.
Yeah,
I know a kid who used to carry their crystals for them.
Wow.
He was the crystal carrier.
He was paid?
He was paid in merchandise and tickets, free tickets.
Oh, my.
So they'd be like, man, we need to look at our crystals. And he would, like, you know, shamble over and then just open up this chest, and then the crystals would emanate their power towards this band. Yeah, and then...
That's awesome.
I know. So
we've got a power crystal on the front of the dash of the van. It's been collecting the sun's energy for, like, 3 or 4 years.
And Daniel's nose hairs.
How is it affixed to the van?
I just like
shoved it in there.
Oh wow!
So we're magically totally shoved.
No, yeah, we've got a lot of. There's a bunch of totems and stuff in the van.
It's true.
I'm not really superstitious, but I kind of am. I don't know. So
I just like to look at fun things
while you're driving.
While stuck in a van, yeah.
So instead of looking at the road, you're like staring at this crystal and its powers, and I'm
looking at a ceramic cat that we have on the dash.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, right on. Cats are cool. That's pretty much it.
So Virginia, we talked a little bit about Virginia in the intro because Chris is from there. I like Appreciate to bring it up a lot just because, you know, whenever there's a north-south battle going on, I fully represent the north. So you guys are all from
that had a connotation.
Are you guys all
you're outnumbered right now, just saying. Go ahead.
But wait, what was the connotation? I'm trying to, like,
well, do you guys are since, you know, Roanoke isn't exotic to me because I'm from there. But are people like, oh, you guys are such a small town band, like what is that like? Like, how is that a common question?
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, every day of our lives.
Yeah. What's it like to live in Roanoke?
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, what's the what is it like to live in Roanoke as a, you know, in your 20s? Because I haven't done that. I was there when I was a teenager, and I like skipped school and stuff.
I don't know. I'm in my 20s. I don't know.
I was trying to come up with it. What are those two families that fight against each other in the South in Tennessee? They're always like
the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Hatfields and McCoys.
They're both Southern.
I envision
that's wrong.
I envision like you guys like being on opposite side of the streets. Your families like fighting against each other. Because I'm from the North.
That's a lot more exciting than Roanoke, probably. No, Roanoke's like it's just a small place. It's real mellow. It's nice scenery and not a lot happens, but.
But there's no music scene, really.
That's true.
It's there, but it's just really small. And I don't think anyone there cares about the outside world so much that they're going to, try to conquer the world or whatever, or something like that. But there's definitely crazy music there and weird bands.
Great bands, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But and a lot of them might just be like, they just might record or something like that. But... yeah, it's just small. It's just tiny and insular.
Are you guys all from Roanoke?
None of us are originally from Roanoke, but we've lived there for quite some time.
Yeah, I'm originally from the D.C. area, which is what it is.
Right,
as
right.
As well.
A lot of wieners flying around.
Yes.
Bad joke. Yeah. Bad pun. A lot of Carlos Danger.
A lot of Volkswagen Passats and Labradoodles and really bland houses and 40-minute commutes to places.
And where
and Dockers.
And where are you
from?
Dockers.
I'm pointing to Daniel, by the way.
Okay.
Where are you from?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Prior to Roanoke.
Yeah, I'm from Franklin County, Virginia. It's like just right south of Roanoke.
Come on, say it. It's the moonshine capital of the United States.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't they made them. They recently made a movie about it, and I watched it, and I was insulted.
I'm seeing a lot of sponsorship opportunities right now. Like moonshine would be a great sponsor. Although I don't think
it's not real. That's the thing.
Not the real stuff. But I can get anybody out there. I can get you the real stuff.
All right, I'm gonna take note of that.
Didn't your grandfather go blind?
Yeah, my great-grandfather actually went blind from drinking a bad batch of moonshine. He was, I forget the correct name for it, but he worked for the police department, and he would go and bust stills up, but he would also get paid to not bust the stills.
Right, right.
So he would go, and everyone in Franklin County, it was all like this,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So people would get paid to not tell on people. So he had like a bad batch of moonshine when he was older, and he drank it and went blind from it.
This is, I mean, I don't
like
want
to... Permanently blind?
Permanently blind.
This is insane. I don't want to make light of this situation
no,
at all.
No, it's
I had
crazy.
No idea
it's very
that
interesting.
The,
yeah,
that the rumor was true.
I know, yeah. I know a girl who was temporarily blinded in Roanoke from moonshine, mm-hmm. but it like went away after a few days.
Yeah,
but
that's incredible. Yeah, that's wow. crazy. Some strong stuff. Yeah,
I know, it just
makes
took,
you think.
Just made it a somber note. Now I can't use any of my incest jokes.
That's right. Think about people next time you make those incest jokes.
Jonathan, where are you from originally?
I'm from Alexandria, Virginia. So
right,
also
so,
Northern
yeah,
Virginia.
So you guys are all pretty much, regardless, you met in Roanoke, but all from mm-hmm. the all from the area. There are, I mean, to be fair, there are some really good bands that came out of Virginia.
Definitely.
Like Eternal Summers. No, but I remember growing up, there was a big hardcore scene in Virginia.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so it was a great destination for bands, but that was more the Richmond
Northern
area.
Virginia.
Is that Richmond? I mean, I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of good stuff that came out of Richmond stuff, too, I think. And then, let's see. I don't know. I think a lot of people went to colleges and stuff around Virginia that ended up forming bigger bands, too.
Yeah, I think there... Dave Matters Band. Yeah,
Dave,
something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
he has a lot
Dave
of
magnet space.
I'm gonna chime in here and say
our producer Joe has
Steve
something
Malcolm
to say.
Went to, Steve
what
Malcolm
I was gonna say,
went
pavement.
To UVA.
There you go, yeah. Nice.
And yeah. also the bass player for Yola Tango also went to UVA, and he worked at a parking garage.
What yes. was the? There was a one seminal hardcore band. I feel like it began with an A.
Avail?
Yes, that's the one I'm looking for.
Dave Grohl's from Virginia. Look, dude, we can just keep going. I mean,
yeah, I know. I didn't mean to spend this much time on Virginia. I was just trying to find a nice segue into something, other than touring crystals,
Can we talk about touring crystals again? I'm fine
with that. Yeah, where do we get some, man?
Who can we hire?
They're made of moonshine.
That would be amazing.
It's compressed moonshine from, like, you put it inside of a clam and bury it in the ocean for a while, and then you go dive down there and get it, and that's what you'll find.
So you've been, okay, this your latest album, which my computer screen just went blank for a second, so can you please fill me in with the latest album
what it's
title?
Called?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
This is the least
it's okay.
Set, well, no, I just
Let's riff here. This is like jazz.
It is. We're off the cuff.
Yeah, right, we're all
now.
Jamming right now,
we're jamming
Derek.
Right now. Yeah, we had a record that came out last summer called Correct Behavior, and that was the first album that our friend right here, Jonathan Woods, played on, and really solidified us as a three piece. And but you know what? We're actually done with our newest record, so we feel mentally transitioned a little bit, even though Correct Behavior is our latest. So tonight at the Mercury Lounge, we're going to be playing a bunch of the new stuff, and that's going to be interesting.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because you guys aren't really officially promoting any specific album right now, right? This is just kind of like a, you know, get out of the studio type of tour.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we just like to keep touring as much as possible, and you know, traveling around playing for people. I don't like, even if we have an album or don't have an album, we'll still like be out there doing it.
Yeah, I'm not saying you need. I was actually trying to use this as a way for you to plug your upcoming album. Thanks, thanks for ruining it, guys.
I messed up.
Yeah,
can we existentialism.
No. So what? Yeah. Well, then let's you know. Tell us a little bit about the new album. Do you not want to get that far ahead of yourself? Do you have any kind of...
We can drop hints? Some bombs.
Is it going to be with K9?
We can't talk about that.
Okay.
That's a bomb we're not ready to drop yet.
Okay. See, I'm already stepping all over myself.
It's going to be on Feline.
No, we went down to Austin and recorded with this guy, Louis Lino, who is a really awesome dude. This is like the first album we actually worked really intensely with a producer. All right, intensely. I just feel like we worked with a producer more so than ever for this one. Doug Gillard worked with us on that, and he plays with Not a Surf now, and he was in God About Voices, and he has like solo records that are really incredible. And so we all went down there, and we hung out for how long were we there?
8 days, right?
Yeah.
8 days, and we recorded a bunch of songs, and. Yeah, I mean, there's all other things I could say too, but don't you guys want
to
say something?
12 to 14 hour days. We were just working really hard. It was great to be outside of Roanoke and working on something and being very focused on it. We lived in we were staying in an apartment that was like right above the studio.
Right, right.
So it was great to just wake up and come down. Louis was already in there getting stuff ready, and we would work for, you know, I don't know. We would get jacked up on coffee and work really hard.
Yeah, that's great. And so was it. I mean, I assume all the songs, well, I don't want to assume, but most of the songs were written prior going into the studio, or was there any kind of collaboration that you guys were working on with the people you were working with?
Well, there was a lot of collaboration before the recording, which was, this was a new process, because there was a lot of demos being passed between us and Doug, and just input about song structure beforehand, so that was cool, it was definitely interesting. And then when we recorded... Actually, one of the tracks came together right there. Like, the lyrics and the vocal parts were written, like, in a treehouse in Louis' backyard. And you guys just recorded your parts. It was really, like, very jazz. But
are you into jazz right now?
I just want to say the word. I don't even know what music is.
It's just in the air. Yeah.
I'm a fan of jazz, though. That's
it means a lot.
Yeah, we are, too.
Yeah.
So, did Crystals and or Moonshine play any role in the recording?
No, not for the
not
band as a whole.
Right.
Sounds like you have some confessions or something like that. Do you want to talk about?
No. But yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't even know.
Is the 8 day cram session? Is that process new as well? Like, normally, do you have a luxury of more time, or is it you find it easier to set a date where you have to be finished and say, this is when everything has to be done?
Yeah, usually I think we end up setting these, like, dates, and we have to work within that. And, I don't know, it makes us just go for it. There's no, like, slacking or anything. And you kind of have to commit to a lot of things as well, because it's like, well, you can't go back and then, like, work on this in, like, a few weeks or something like that, so...
And that wasn't... This was just the recording process. You mixed, I'm assuming, afterwards? Or was that... Did that include
the
mixing?
Yeah, we mixed afterwards. Yeah. Louis Lino, actually, I mixed the album.
Yeah. That's a weird process, because it's so about your email. because you get files, and then I don't know. It's just, it's weird. It's cool, but it's weird.
It is a difficult process, cause especially in the digital age. It's something that people like are, I guess it comes up when you're like in the process you are, when you're going back and forth with the producer, but it's kind of interesting because you don't think of it's like you shouldn't be listening to songs on your computer speaker to determine how a song should be mixed, you know.
Well, we don't. Well, we do too. I mean, the thing is like with now, that's not the primary that like I've listened to it on my home setup, like my stereo setup, but then we do make a point to like always listen to it in different cars,
right.
on laptops, and like because if it sounds good there, then it's going to sound good elsewhere, you know, also. And a lot of people, you know, even though they shouldn't listen to it on their laptop, like, you know, people are going to. So you try to get a good mix for that as well. And even like Louis had like I think four different sets of monitors, and some of them were really tiny, some of them were huge, just to always get, you know, different feels, right?
What kind of cars did you test drive in on?
Well, our van, okay, was one.
Yeah.
Are you guys in the same touring Nichols van that you've been in for a while now?
Yes.
What's the one?
Do you have a name for it?
The White Whale.
The White Whale.
So who's Ahab?
It's white, right?
It's
he's
off,
chasing
it's
us.
It's off-white.
It's death. His name is death.
It's fly gut cream. Acrew.
Acrew. That's a great. It's a great crossword puzzle. Acrew always comes up. You know. I remember my dad. Wait, you don't like my crossword puzzle references?
Yeah, sure.
My dad had a white van. He was a sign painter growing up, and it was kind of weird. You felt like a little bit of a child molester driving around in, I have to admit.
Oh, wow.
We're a sign painter. We're just a sign painter.
Yeah. We're a sign painter.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to
maybe
apply
that's
any.
A
I'm just saying, you know, maybe.
Northern thing and not.
Oh! Yeah, let's keep that.
Regional.
Snap. I just got told.
Just trying to make it full circle here.
It is. I would. So, I want to get into the tough questions, but I don't know if this is something we should bring up on the air. Are any of you in romantic relationships?
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I meant
each other? No.
No, yeah.
No, ew.
Gross.
Cooties. No, we're all asexual.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all
married to rock.
Yeah. We're all like different kinds of plants.
Married to the road, man.
So okay. There you have it.
All right. Well, that's a tough question.
That wasn't that tough.
That wasn't that tough. Oh, yeah. That could have been tough, though. Say that one of yeah, okay. I see where you went with that.
Yeah.
That could have been weird, and then we broke up, and then we, you know, that would have been weird.
Yeah, because that does happen. And then, you know,
it's save
like,
Nicole.
Do you fight on for the music, or, you know?
Some do, and some don't. But we never had to cross
we'll
that bridge.
Yeah. All right. Luckily, we'll never know.
Do you think these people are going to make it? We're looking at a couple right now who's eating.
They
seem
pretty happy, but I can't tell if like her smile, especially. I feel like she's
I'm not sure who's into it more.
Wearing a sweater, and I don't know.
I think he's explaining his day trader job right now.
I don't think he's funny at all, and she's incredibly funny. And she's just laughing at him just to appease like some like lame meal that she has to have.
I've got a great idea for a new segment. I've got a great idea for a new segment. Now people, since people can't see them talking, it's not like we can talk on their behalf, you know, like ad lib in for them. But what we should play is who's winning this date and basically say who has the better situation. Does she have the better situation or does he have the better situation?
Well, she does, right?
Yeah.
Well, you think she does?
I think she's
getting the free meal probably, and
yeah, but I think she's more attractive out of the two is my point. Although it's hard for me to tell because I can only see.
So
the back
of her
head.
So wouldn't she be winning or what? Oh, she's losing because he's not.
He's
asked.
Winning because,
oh,
like,
because he's getting the
better end of the deal.
I don't know, guys. I think we should relook because this conversation.
Yeah, you
is,
know what? He's
you know,
handsome
I think
in
they're
his
happy.
Own way.
They're happy.
I know them both, and they are very happy. Those are my
I will
parents.
Go out there right now and be like, which one of you is winning and who is happier?
See, now I feel bad.
For
I keep taking
pizza.
It's like it's coming out that Derek is taking the negative spin on everything, and everyone else is much more positive than me.
Sorry, it's the South.
Yin and Yang.
South.
I will give you that. The South, much nicer. The people are very friendly.
Except for that whole stain of, you know, servitude and...
Except for when the
but
South
yeah,
is
yeah,
not
yeah.
chill.
And this is my biggest knock against the South. No ginger ale. What the hell is up with you people and
you know
ginger
what it
ale?
Is?
Oh, I never noticed that. Really?
Oh, no ginger ale?
There's some.
I mean, it exists, but like you go to restaurants and they'll be like, we have Sprite.
Oh, yeah,
like, no,
that's true.
No, no,
you know
no.
what they
let
do
me
have?
Take this. Let me take this one.
Oh, please.
Where I just was in the northern neck of Virginia at Bladen's family's river house.
Oh, about Bladen.
They have this delightful ginger ale called Northern Neck Ginger Ale, and it is robust and yet not too robust. And I feel like it would be an integral part of your life.
It would
had
be.
You chosen to, you know, read up on it.
In fact, if people go to the show website now, I've updated my bio to include loves ginger ale.
Oh,
and
wow.
Joe just gave me the thumbs up, means it's on the website, so you can go to the website now.
Wow.
I would bathe in ginger ale. If I
you
could.
Sure that was his thumb? I don't.
Carlos Danger will be joining us next. I'm really running that Carlos Danger joke in the ground because it never gets old.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
Yes. So we're gonna try to. I don't want to. I feel like we gotta move you along a little bit just because you guys are here to do some work or something like that. Do you consider this work?
Oh, we
kind of.
We want it to be.
Not in a bad
do you
way,
mean the interview
yes.
or like playing?
Well, I meant playing.
Press.
I feel like I'm making this work for you.
No, interviews can be really, really terrible or really fun, and I feel like we like to have fun with them.
Okay, I was going to say don't tell them whether we're having fun or not.
Oh.
Leave it up to the listener.
We want to withhold.
Judge.
We want to withhold.
That's okay. We're very confident in our interview abilities, so I don't think you know. That's a northern thing too.
Oh yeah,
confidence.
I think playing in a band and touring is work. I think a lot, like when I'm like telling people at home, oh, I'm going to go on tour. They're like, oh wow, what a great vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to sleep on a floor. I'm not going to like, you know, be eating as good as I should. I'm going to be exhausting myself. I'm going to be like driving for 8 hours a day. It's
after
not,
going to bed at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's very
and living the dream.
Hey, it's true.
Yeah, it takes a lot of energy.
So where do you go after? I mean, we'll get you out of here in a moment. But where are you going next? Is this it?
Oh well, tomorrow we play Brooklyn. So not
I was going to ask that. I was going to ask
Glasslands, Derek. Come on.
Well, I mean, I could just say that, but it's far less interesting if I just say it. I could give a rundown of everything they're doing.
Yeah, but then we're making them the come on
the self promoter.
I'm going to have a conversation after this radio show.
So you play the beautiful borough of Brooklyn tomorrow?
Yes. That's correct.
And then, is then it back to Virginia?
It's back to Virginia. We're playing Richmond, and then we're playing Charlottesville, and then we are home.
Is Nara cool. Sushi still open in Richmond?
You know, I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's closed.
Yeah, I don't think it is. We used to play some shows there. I mean, Jonathan, we were in another band. I don't know if you're in
a couple different bands that have played there. Yeah, actually.
Is T-Bazaar in Charlottesville? Is that what you guys are playing?
Yes.
Sweet. Is Invisible Hand still around? Do they still play?
Yeah.
Oh, so
I
good.
I thought they broke up, but they're still playing. So
that's
cool.
I had heard that too. But they're so good.
They are good.
I know.
They're very good.
Yeah, they're good.
Another Virginia band.
Yeah, we're getting really inside baseball right here now.
Whatever.
I thought I was cool dropping Nara Sushi, but obviously that just shows I'm old.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much for coming by.
Oh, thanks so much for having
pleasure.
Us.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you're welcome anytime. I don't know if we've made it where you'd want to come back.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow.
Cool. For everyone listening, before they came on, we played You Kill. We're going to take you out with Millions. Guys, once again, thank you so much. And if you're listening and are looking for something to do tonight or tomorrow, you should go check out Eternal Summers. You guys have been one of our favorite bands for the past few years now, so I'm glad you guys could stop by.
Yeah,
thanks
wow.
so much.
This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, anytime.
Take us out, Derek.
As soon as that band camp starts. I've got
We're back.
But we never went anywhere.
We never went anywhere. What song did you say you opened up with when you used to DJ?
No, I DJ'd at our Comic-Con shows, and it was God. Now the guy who kills animals and like hates Obama, Ted Nugent. That's the yeah. So I stole your shine by playing your Ted Nugent song, and everyone loved it. The one
Stranglehold?
That's like yeah, the one that's like 18 minutes long. Because I was just like, you know what? No one's here yet. Boink, and I walked around and drank beers and everything.
So you want to talk about Anthony Weiner, the topic that no one dares to touch.
It is. It's,
we don't
it's
see
not
in the news
away.
Enough.
Huh? All right. What do you want? I come on. Carlos Danger. That is amazing. No one's giving him credit. And somewhere, there is a Carlos Danger or knee Carlos Pellegro who is
deeply
I think I'm
offended
saying that,
by all this?
Yes. Am I saying that right? Is it Pellegro? Pellegro?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And Pellegroso is dangerous. I learned that today.
Okay.
So if you add the oso on the end, it's
is that the word of the day on your Spanglish calendar?
I was trying
to rip off a few entries.
Well, like, I was thinking like how if I was to be in his shoes, I could just be like Charles Pellegro, you know, instead of Carlos Danger.
Yeah, that's a dumb name.
The worst part is he takes this fake name, and then does he like admit to being who he is?
No, the worst thing is that he used his power as like a sort of like. Way to, you know, get attention, and then but once you do that, you can't come up with a pseudonym. Everyone knows who you are.
Yeah, I know.
It's like I'm a congressman, but really I'm Carlos Danger.
Okay, let me
Congressman Danger. This is highly unorthodox. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
let me get your take on this though, because this was something I was a little bit offended by. The woman that he had this tryst liaison, whatever you want.
And, it was just
e-communique, if you will. Okay. She comes out, obviously, wants her 15 minutes of fame. The New York Post, with, you know, shutter wide open, decides we're going to do a photo shoot with her, a scantily clad photo shoot.
Yes.
But then they go on to slut shame her. Like, I mean, basically, they were like, just did you read it by a chance? Like, they were making fun of the way she was dressed on the photo shoot and things like that.
You're talking about the New York Post.
I know, but don't you think that's like, I mean, they're like getting the opportunity to do this. And I feel like that was like, you know, it's one thing to make fun of Weiner or the guy, but like, I mean, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit unfair.
I actually am touched that you were offended by that, because it is offensive.
It is.
And it's wrong. But you also have to remember that when you enter into, when, you know, they pitched her this photo shoot, they probably didn't say we're going to slut shame you at the same time. But they're going, you're doing it with the New York Post, you know? Like, you have to understand that they're going to write whatever they want to write about her.
But they're
going to
make fun of her bathing suit? I mean, that was ridiculous.
I know. Of course. Dude. Again, the Post, brother.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could have got someone on here from the Post to talk about.
I have contacted News Corp's press agent several times, and they've never gotten back to me, mainly because they don't really have to, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I get that. But I was slightly offended by that. But, you know, at the you know, they're pulling no punches with Huma either.
He's fourth in the race now.
Yeah, he's.
And some people are saying that he's really helping the other candidates by just splitting the vote even more. So instead of Weiner winning, he's going to benefit one of these other second tier candidates, you know, by stealing their voters, which is actually better than having him as the mayor. Personally, I think.
Well, yeah, anything's better than having him as a
I can't vote. Can you vote in this primary?
Not in the primary. I'm independent, so I can't vote in
so
any
you're
primary.
So neither one of us can actually do anything about this.
No, but we can, you know, but that's why we can talk about it openly.
We're staring at the snowball rolling down the hill, and it's just going to flatten us, and then it doesn't matter.
No.
Honestly, though, if it's anything, you know, personally, Bloomberg has all this money, which is fine, but then he just dangled that money in front of people to get what he wanted.
So well, yeah, I was just...
That's a bad thing. As well, bad as corruption is, it's equally as bad to have this, like, oligarch in office who can just do whatever he wants.
Well, I mean, basically, because he's in that situation, it's going to kind of screw over whoever comes in next, because aside from the open-ended contract disputes that he still has with all the unions, there's also the fact, didn't he repeal many of the arts and special ed funding, but
yeah,
then funded
then,
it with
then,
his own money?
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Then these other people coming in obviously can't do that, so then they're going to be stuck in a shortfall right
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
Ah,
no, it's messed up.
But he did put in bike lanes, so, you know.
But bike lanes.
Which all the candidates want to get rid of now anyway, which I don't understand.
That's not true.
Well, not all of them, but they like to make it a talking point, which blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
Eternal Summers are still here, although their microphones are off at the moment. Do you guys have bike lanes in Virginia?
Yes. Yeah.
They're saying, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It's not a northern thing, you know?
No way.
Totally. We like to think of ourselves as this, like, European, forward-thinking society, and then someplace as backward as Virginia even has bike lanes. I'm saying this while they have their microphones off. So I you know, and Jenny from our office is also in here, and she's from the South as well originally. So I'm totally outnumbered. Like, if this was to turn into a melee, I would totally get destroyed.
My first bike was stolen from my front porch because I didn't lock it, because I was like, oh, I live in Roanoke, Virginia, I don't need to lock my bike, and it was stolen from me. Yeah, Daniel? Wow.
See, I live in Brooklyn and locked my bike up on the fence and subsequently got my tires slashed.
By rats?
And my... my
rats slashed my tires!
My pins were taken out of the tires. So
can I actually tell... Well, I shouldn't. I was going to tell a story.
Of what? I like your stories, though.
I know. My stories are good. I shouldn't tell this one, though, because people listen. That anyway. That segue. Segue to something else.
Let's talk about Orange Dick is the Picks. New Black.
No. Okay, so Derek's on this TV jag. What else is new? He gets a pint of Ben & Jerry's frozen yogurt. He puts on his tidy whities. Maybe some Fritos are involved, some Bugles. And he sits down for how long and watches television? Have you seen the whole series yet?
No, I haven't seen the whole series.
How many have you burned through?
I don't know, like 4 or 5.
Get this off your chest.
4 or 5. They're about an hour long. But I feel like everyone's talking about it, so we got to talk about it. It's like a hot button topic.
And why is it that so or hot button? Explain to a non-believer why this matters.
One word. Two words.
Oh.
Two words.
You can use more than two words.
Yeah, this is going to be about five words, actually.
You are allowed to use more than two words in this persuasion.
Well, I'm trying to count how many words it is. That's why there's this.
One grunt. One grunt will
one
sell
grunt.
You on this television
one
show.
Grunt is allowed. And it works actually well with what I'm about to say, but fully explicit lesbian sex. There's my
so
five
four
words.
Words and a grunt.
No, I should disclaimer. The show is good. That's just the thing that obviously everyone talks about is because it's about, you know, women in prison. So
and okay. So is it like Oz?
No, the story.
Are there people getting shanked left and right?
Much less.
Watch that.
It's much less violent than Oz. I'll give you that. And so far, all of the sex scenes have been consensual, which obviously sets it apart from Oz. But there. The base of the story is this woman gets sent to prison for something she did long ago in her past regarding drugs. And so she then is sentenced to 15 months in prison. Of course, she's super naive and, you know, kind of stupid. Stupid in terms of, like, prison life.
She's not prison smart.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the rest of us are.
Yes. Well, it's funny because you watch the show and this woman is, like, overly naive on the show, the way they have her written. And it's written by the same people who did Weeds. If you've ever seen that, you almost feel the same way about their lead character, who is like, you're like, come on. You know?
What's her name, by the way?
I can't remember.
I saw her at a restaurant in the East Village one time, and she looked like she was floating around. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she's pretty waifish.
Yeah.
Do you mean floating around as in, like, she thinks she was on something?
Well, no, she just looked really thin, and, like, she was wearing, I don't know, she just looked, we went to this restaurant that was all, it's all, like, vegan. And she ordered, like, these tiny little kernels of, like, Bulger wheat or something. I don't know. It just looked really Hollywood to me. And I remember, that's, like, burned into my brain now, is that that's who this person is. But anyway, continue about this jail television program.
Jail television. Well, why don't you tell us about the most recent movie you've watched? Because I know it involves either Jean-Claude Van Damme, Charles Bronson, you know, it's definitely some Nick Nolte. I mean, come on.
All right, so the last film I watched...
Tell our listeners
to completion
the person that is making fun of me right
was
now.
Was this film called Bunraku, okay? It stars Josh Hartnett, Lou... What's his name?
Diamond Phillips?
No, not Lou Diamond Phillips. No, who's like
Lou
the Frigno really...
Lou would have been great.
Bulbous guy, bulbous nose guy. Lou Pearlman. Ron Perlman, okay, Josh Hartnett, Bruce Willis, okay?
Was this the one where they're like father and son? Oh, no, that's
No, this is
Hard.
Like a stylized Japanese-esque film that didn't really make any sense, and was terrible. And I deeply regret watching it. I cannot recommend this film to anyone.
What was the this is just turning.
That's the last film that I saw.
This is what happens when our political guest to talk about Carlos Danger.
God, no. Someone played the bartender, but it wasn't. Someone played this bartender. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Woody Harrelson who plays the bartender, and in his spare time, he makes pop-up books. Okay. This is what Woody Harrelson's character does.
This is kind of highbrow for you. You're naming a lot of people that have been in movies that I would actually watch.
I found this movie at a Dollar General in Warsaw, Virginia, and it was $4.95. And I bought
that. So it's marked up. Like, that's like 500% at the dollar store.
And then I bought that, and I bought Passion Play, which stars Mickey Rourke and Megan Fox and Bill Murray. And Megan Fox plays an angel, and Mickey Rourke plays a wandering trumpet player who saves her. And Bill Murray plays a villain. That movie's way better than Bunraku.
Again, these are like much higher than I expected.
Sometimes you gotta get classy. Sometimes you gotta treat yourself. That's how I treat myself.
I feel like,
but you know what? I don't pretend that like it's part of like the intellectual conversation.
I never tried to pass off my TV. I mean, I watch. You know, I'm a big fan of Storage Wars. I'm still waiting. I'm trying to find out where they filmed that in New York, so I can crash the scene.
Why don't you just? You should go to one of those auctions. We talked about this before. Just buy some of that stuff. Why not?
Because then I have to put it somewhere.
No, and then you put it in the storage. You're already at the storage place.
All the imposed people. I'm going to be like, all right, come on, guys, we got to move this into the office. Someone else's garbage will be in our office.
We used to have a storage unit.
We did, and then it's now an office.
Yeah.
The storage space is not the office. Now we have an office where we can put the storage space. So,
but you should just go to one of these things. Moving up in the
world. Why not? I would like to. Okay. They've done a couple. Now we're just riffing about TV and movies. Although, if you were at Comic-Con with us, you could have met a lot of these people.
Did you go to the conference?
Yes, we had one press pass. I don't know if I should say this out loud because I don't know if they're listening. But we were we were handing off.
Because the Silver Surfer's listening and.
we were handing off our press pass all so everyone could use it basically. So we all spent a little bit of time in there. Deborah Morgan from Dexter. That's not a real name. I don't know her real name. She's the one who plays the sister. They were married in real life. Saw her from afar.
Okay. might have looked at her from behind a pole and glanced at her and
I think she did give me
wash my hands.
She was like, "Who is that gentleman?" Well, nothing beats the time we were in here and the guy from Walking Dead.
I don't, a minor character. What was the craziest outfit you saw when you were in San Diego?
You know, I get asked that a lot and I feel like.
Do you?
Well, you know, you say and they're like, was there a lot of crazy costumes?
Right, no, I know.
And I don't know. I feel like you see the same ones. You know, it's like this year the popular one was Bob's Burgers or also. Adventure Time. There's a lot of adults dressed in Adventure Time stuff, which I love that cartoon, but it was kind of, you know.
Overkill? It was like the done sort of thing.
Yeah, and then you saw a lot of like really, you know, cool professional ones. Like there was a lot of superheroes going around. A lot of Walking Dead zombies being like, you know, pulled around by other people. And
were the evangelicals out front this time?
There was.
Waving their...
There was a ton of them. And you know what? They were actually, I have to give them credit, they were so strategically placed at the crosswalk that everyone had to pass them because you have to cross a main thoroughfare to get to the convention center. So they were very strategically placed. So I give, yes, at a
God is strategic
crosswalk. I have give them props. I don't necessarily agree with the message, but if you're going to do it, you know, might as well find
we're talking about them right now. So it worked.
They were there last year.
Yeah. You don't remember this? Sitting at the same crosswalk, as a matter of fact.
They probably were. Yeah. That's why I don't remember. I was very shocked this time for some reason. You went last year, but you didn't come this year. And we were just talking about this. Diarrhea Planet played A Secret Set, which is one of Chris's favorite bands, and he missed it. To go gallivanting around the woods with guys, you know, no homosexuality.
Sorry, I wasn't watching prison dramas, and I apologize for that.
You were creating prison dramas.
I was creating
in the woods.
Prison dramas in the woods, whatever that means.
I'm trying to make homosexual jokes that are non-offensive, okay?
So basically, you're like a Kevin James movie. Basically, you're a Kevin James movie right now.
That's what this has devolved to.
You know, he's one of the highest grossing actors in Hollywood.
God, that makes me so angry. Like, there are some comedians that I'll tell you why. Mall Cop, all right? I rented Mall Cop.
Mall Cop is one of the highest grossing films of, like, recent
times. I can quote so many bad comedies.
What was that? What was that one in, with Vincent Vince Vaughn? He was in. That was what really made him a lot of money. Neighborhood, maybe.
Was he in Neighborhood?
No, it was like The Decision or something, or like the Dilemma. I think it was called The Dilemma.
I don't
with
know.
Some dilemma that they had, but yeah, him and Rob Schneider, who you really don't see anymore, by the way.
Yeah,
Rob Schneider sort of fell off.
There's been like a retirement of the. Although now they have that new Parenthood movie, so he's probably in that because he was in the other one or whatever it is, the one where they're all, you know, all those guys are parents.
Yeah.
Movie talk with Chris and Derek.
Could be worse.
We could be talking about Carlos Danger. Let's take it out with some Carlos Danger. Do you think he's going to stay in the race till the end?
Yes. He has a lot of money. And he doesn't care.
But
He really just has to sit and wait for someone else to do something stupid.
Well, I also feel like he's kind of like in a damned if he does, damned if he does. Because if he just drops out now, like that will be his lasting image. So like he at least in the next... you know, 6 weeks or however long it's going to be.
And meanwhile, Elliot Spitzer, who actually broke the law many, many times, and his penis actually entered vaginas when he was governor. Different vaginas than his wife. I want to make that clear.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's actually breaking the law. And everyone's, you know, and as I think Spitzer is actually a more substantive politician. Like,
well, that's
he did a lot more for Attorney General.
That's where I'm torn because, like, I actually, like, I think Spitzer is still you know, as far as a politician goes, I think he stands on a lot more than Wiener does. But, you know, like you said, he's done something which was illegal.
Right. And so, you know, we can talk about Carlos Danger, but Spitzer is the one who actually broke the law. So in that respect, people are gonna get tired of Anthony Wiener. Please, please get tired of Anthony Wiener. And then, you know, other things will come to light and then he'll be back up in the polls. And then who knows? I just don't want him to win, frankly.
I don't think he'll win.
He can stick in the race, fine, but I don't think he'll win either.
I mean, even if he gets close to the top, I think this is not the last we've heard of Carlos Danger.
It's going to be one every other day.
Dirt out there.
Of course.
Yeah. Poor Huma.
Why don't they just do it? Why don't they just release it all themselves and just own it?
You know what?
That's what I don't understand.
I will leave our listeners with this one thought. You don't have to leave them with this thought, but this was a thought I was sharing with someone. Eventually, there will be a politician who comes out, and instead of these like fake apologies, you know, from sports people or anything like that, who, you know, and then like, oh, I'm sorry after the fact. There's going to be someone that comes out, start a campaign with, here's the things I've done. I've taken these drugs. I've cheated on, you know, or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that they've cheated. And they're going to be like, ask me any questions you want about those topics and just have a press conference about it and just get it out of the way. And then it'll be like, okay, let's talk about the issues. And from that point forward, I think because we live in an age where everyone will know everything. I mean,
I hate to go all Mark Twain on you, but that means that there will be an honest politician and that will never happen. So,
yeah. Maybe
I'll leave our readers with that.
Maybe readers, who's reading this? But that's my.
Yeah,
point,
you're right. I fucked that up, Derek.
The transparency of the digital age will create an honest politician.
No,
you don't think.
If anything, because
these are still politicians that come from a pre-internet dawn. You know,
we're all hypocrites, and as long as we're all hypocrites, we want people to act hypocritically accordingly. So they can act contrite. And we want them to act contrite, but you know we're all just animals in this crazy little blue marble,
in this rat race,
in this crazy little blue marble we call Earth.
And on that positive note, I think we should take it out.
Okay,
thanks, Chris. I mean, you know,
this has been edifying.
It is,
as always.
And although your microphones are still off, but you are still here.
Although you're still in the cages that we put you in, and are rattling,
and we're you can almost
poking
leave.
You with hot irons.
Eternal Summers, thank you again.
And yeah, we'll see you next week.
We'll be here next week. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.